Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. At least three Palestinians have been killed and over 100 injured just on Saturday as they marked a year anniversary of the right to return protests in Gaza. Israeli snipers used live bullets and shot tear gas as those demanding the right to return to their own land. We're going to cross over to Gaza City, joined by Press TV's Ashraf Shannon, to give us the latest on this situation in Gaza. Go ahead, Ashraf.
Yes, Marzia, the anniversary, the first anniversary of the Great March of Return ended this evening with the Israeli forces killing three Palestinians, including two teenagers, both of them aged 17. One of them was shot in the head, the other one, the other teenager was shot in the chest. Scores of protesters were also injured, and at least eight protesters are in critical condition, and and doctors are fighting to save their lives. 1 year on, Palestinians are still determined to continue this peaceful action until achieving their goals of highlighting the right of return for millions of Palestinian refugees and the complete lifting of the hermetic and inhumane Israeli blockade that's been placed since 2007 and taken its toll on all aspects of life in Gaza. Today, there were mass rallies throughout the Gaza Strip along the 40-kilometer-long security fence in the east of the enclave. Tens of thousands of people from all walks of life came out today to show the world that the Palestinian people in Gaza are here and they're not going anywhere, and they will continue to demand their rights despite the brutality and the excessive use of force by the Israeli regime against them. Palestinians have been suffering tremendously, and Palestinians in Gaza have been suffering the most, especially under Israeli siege for nearly 12 years. And also they've been through three Israeli wars since 2008. That claimed the lives of thousands of Palestinians, people in Gaza, including hundreds of women and children.
Thank you so much for that update. That's Press TV's Ashraf Shannon out of Gaza City. We're going to cross over now to London and welcome our guest, peace activist and former U.S. Marine, Ken O'Keefe. Thanks so much for being with us. Ken, now we've seen over 260 people killed during this last year of this right to return rallies. Palestinians have been turning out regularly despite being killed and are injured. Your take on that, doesn't that show that people have basically reached a point that they realize that they have no other way to reach their goal except resistance? How do you see it?
The first thing I must say, Marzia, is that I must express my love and respect for the Palestinian people. I'm your brother. I'm actually a Palestinian national and citizen, and I've been there for this day about 8 years ago. I've witnessed firsthand what happens, and the numbers were similar back then to what they are today. The Palestinians are not treated as humans. International law does not apply to Israel. They are above the law. And they are a rogue state that is committing an active policy of genocide, and I mean genocide by the legal definition. And for the American people and the British people, you're paying taxes to support that. Are we really doing enough to stop this madness, or are we in fact willing partners in mass murder? I say we are.
Well, Ken, now back to the question at hand that I asked you. Do you think that basically the Palestinians have reached this point that resistance is the only way? They have not seen any support from the so-called international community or anyone basically getting involved and trying to stop this. And we see this now 1 year on, still people turning out en masse despite the possibility of being killed or injured. Do you think that they have reached that point, basically, that resistance is the only way?
Absolutely, and let's use a few examples. The American people, you might want to recall that in their day, the founding fathers, now heroes of America, were the terrorists of the day because the British determined who was a terrorist and who was acceptable. Aside from that, we can look at Nelson Mandela. Officially, legally, and by his own words, a terrorist, who also endorsed violence against non-military strategic targets. This is a fact. The Irish people, I have Irish blood, I love the Irish people, I'm part of them, and they also endorsed and supported and carried out so-called terrorist acts. And they today are part of the government. Nelson Mandela is a vaunted hero. And ultimately, today, while I discourage violence under most circumstances, under human rights law, international law, the right of self-defense is sacrosanct. It is your right. And I can tell you this, if I was born and raised in Gaza, I would be involved in violent resistance. According to the powers that be, that makes me a terrorist. What I would say is if the founding fathers of America accepted British tyranny, they would be cowards, but instead they're looked at as heroes today. This is the kind of duplicity, the Orwellian doublespeak 1984 world that we allow as long as people who control the mainstream media, Hollywood, and basically the biggest flow of information continue with their lies. And this is what Israel does. They lie incessantly. I've witnessed it firsthand.
Well, Ken, how do you see it? Isn't the Israeli regime simply committing suicide by continuing to push the Palestinians so much and to injure and to kill them? I mean, shouldn't it be obvious to them that there is actually nothing worse than having a people who feel that they have nothing to lose?
This is the positive side of things, and I in no way dismiss or marginalize the suffering of the Palestinian people all over Palestine, especially in Gaza. I won't marginalize that. It's terrible. I've met a child in Gaza who was hit by white phosphorus. This is a patent crime against humanity. I didn't know this until I met this poor boy, that actually once you extinguish that white phosphorus, the burning doesn't go away. It's there for life. And this is what we allow. We, back in Western nations where we have a relative amount of freedom, are we exercising it in the humane, really honorable way that we could? Not like the founding fathers of America, not like those who fought for Irish independence, not like Nelson Mandela himself. No, we're not.
So, do you think that it should be obvious to the regime in Tel Aviv that by pushing the Palestinian people so much the way that they have, that they've now reached a point that these people feel that they have nothing to lose, Ken? And that actually that would seem like it would be dangerous to the Israeli regime itself.
Yes, I didn't finish the point, but I'm glad you brought it back up. This is the positive side. I know, having been involved in the Palestine issue for nearly three decades now, that the amount of awareness that existed when I first got involved as compared to 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even a year ago, it has increased incredibly to the point where you now have national politicians, even in America. Rand Paul is blocking this aid bill, filibustering an aid bill to Israel, which is almost akin to political suicide. And you have another representative in Congress speaking the truth, love and respect to her. And that was unheard of not long ago. So yes, the Israelis are committing suicide by their own actions. And truth, which is akin to God for me, is undeniable. And as Jesus said, by the way, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Indeed. I am a free man because I speak the truth uncompromisingly, and I will bow before no tyrant. The Palestinians, I love them deeply, and they understand that, they live it, and they will have justice.
Well, let me just tell our viewers, we are waiting for our other guests to join us. In the meantime, though, Ken, as Tel Aviv gets more and more desperate, it appears that the way the regime is dealing with the Palestinian crisis just one which create even more chaos. Your take on that, and also the role of the United States in helping to create even a more chaotic situation there.
Let me just say, love and respect to the good Jewish people. Many of them come to my talks and they thank me profusely because they know that what many of their people are doing is political suicide. Let us not forget as well that the Jewish people have been kicked out of more countries than any other group, primarily through the control of finances. And that monetary system that exists and has existed is the curse of humanity. And the good men in top positions who have actually fought against that, John F. Kennedy as an example, Abraham Lincoln as an example, these men were murdered because they committed the mortal sin in the eyes of those who rule over us. They were attempting to destroy a financial system which is intended to enslave humanity and allows an infinite supply of money for these tyrants to carry out policies and cover their crimes by control of the mass media, Hollywood, and many of the major networks that pass out false, untrue, half-true, and omission, lying through omission. Under this system, the only good thing is it will not continue forever. The only sustainable world we have, especially with nuclear weapons in the mix, is one with respect for all of our fellow human beings. We are brothers and sisters in one human family, whether we like it or not. And any supremacist ideology, no matter how much favor and how much power it gains in the short run, in the long run, is dead. I wish to express my love and respect to the good Jews who know this. There are many of you out there, I've met many of you, and any accusation of anti-Semitism, the Palestinians are Semitic, for Christ's sake, any accusation of that is merely a cover to try and prevent people from speaking the truth.
Well, let's look at that. You talked about you used the term anti-Semitism or anti-Semitic, and we see that this is being used more and more in various countries to label those who actually try to speak out for the Palestinian cause. I want to look at, in the U.S. now, we have anti-BDS laws that have been implemented in 26 states that basically is trying to punish those who support, of course, not buying Israeli products, and basically linking this with being anti-Semitic. What is this all about? How did the United States get here that something that belongs outside of the country would be made to appear as if it's a local issue and actually given more priority than many of the local and national issues that should be prioritized?
Home of the free, right? Land of the brave. Constitutional rights, yeah? Uh-huh. So, I'm sorry, the right to free speech, to free assembly, peaceable actions like BDS, that's peaceful. Where does BDS endorse any kind of violence? It doesn't. It's using nonviolent means to resist in a most honorable way circumstances that none of us would accept even for a second. And to all those out there who question what I'm saying, put yourself in the position of the other. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not even a prison in Gaza. It's a concentration camp. And those who live there are guilty of being Palestinian, just like the Jewish people were supposedly guilty of being Jewish. It's not a prison. In a prison, you get 3 square meals a day, at least in most Western prisons. You get medical attention. Are they getting that there? No, they're not. It's a concentration camp. In the 21st century.
What is it about Israel that makes the United States give such blind support? Reports of over $10 million per day support by Washington to the regime in Tel Aviv. And we see even inside of the United States, as I've just talked about, many states now making it or trying to make it illegal to even support the divestment movement. And it seems that inside of Washington, as far as political circles, as you've alluded to earlier, that things are changing, people are talking, but also they still pay a heavy price. So what is it about Israel that makes the United States, it appears, even wanting to sacrifice itself?
Well, this opens the door to say something that, in terms of how this world functions, is one of the worst crimes you can commit. And that is that the Jewish supremacist ideology is the road to their own destruction. And again, good Jewish people know this, and that's why many of them thank me personally, profusely. What they are doing is a reflection of the fact that the Jewish supremacists, Zionist is the politically correct term, but even people who use that term are getting targeted. They own the U.S. government, with few exceptions, literally. U.S. policy is, in fact, Israeli policy. And the people which inhabit the White House, every one of them, Trump, Obama, Bush, keep on going, Carter, all of them have supported carte blanche the policies of Israel. Except, of course, we can go back to John F. Kennedy, who was insisting that the illegal nuclear program that Israel developed with the help of traitors in the U.S. who secretly gave technology to Israel to develop nuclear weapons, he was killed. That's one of the things he was doing, but touching the financial system was the biggest crime of all. And that's why the headline in the New York Times.
I think a lot of Americans would like to know, well, how did we get here? How did it get to a situation that it appears that the United States then has been occupied, actually, that there's priority in the United States for Israeli policy, for anything that can help the Israelis? We're talking about massive amounts of money that's being spent on Israel when the infrastructure inside of the United States is collapsing, when so many people don't even have health care, but then the entity that it's supporting has universal health care for its own. So why or how did the United States get there?
I always bring it back to this. The financial system that we are living by, as an example, the Federal Reserve Bank. Ron Paul, love and respect to him, Rand Paul's father, good man. I believe he would have been president if there were actual fair elections. That's all rigged as well. He spoke about the Federal Reserve and rose the awareness tremendously. The Federal Reserve is not federal at all. It is a private bank. We're not even allowed to know on record who the shareholders of this bank are, but we know they are either Jewish supremacists like the Rothschilds and their minions like the Rockefellers. Those are the shareholders in a private bank which has the authority to issue money at will, and it can't even be accounted for. There is no auditing of the Federal Reserve. That is how you control the world. If you have an infinite supply of money, are literally above the law and can buy off all the politicians, all the Supreme Court judges, all of the media, you control Hollywood, guess what? You can get away with bloody murder, as Israel has for decades. If we really want to change this world, we should focus on that. And this is really what's put my life in more danger than anything else, but God is with me, and I'll have as much time as God says so. So even if we speak the truth, act on the truth, if you know, if you have any spiritual awareness, or if you're just a courageous person one way or the other, you will speak the truth and not compromise. And every leader, every sage throughout humanity who had any worth whatsoever spoke these words. It's not about what you can take, it's about what we can give. And if your fellow human beings are suffering circumstances you wouldn't tolerate for one second for yourself, then why aren't you helping them? And why are you funding mass murder and oppression? Why?
And now, from the Palestinian perspective, what do you think is key now for their liberation and actually to, again, get their homeland back?
I apologize. I don't know if you can hear me, but
I can hear you.
Hear
Did you hear
right
me,
now.
Ken?
I wonder who's behind that.
Well, can you hear me, Ken? Okay. Well, unfortunately, it seems that we have lost that audio connection. With Ken O'Keefe, of course, activist there out of London, former U.S. Marine peace activist, and also our apologies for our second guest, unfortunately not making it to the studio in time. Anyway, we appreciate our guests being with us tonight, and of course our report also from our correspondent on the ground there in Gaza City, Ashraf Shannon. And as always, viewers, we thank you for being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, thanking you for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.